I've got a quick question for you, alright? I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.
So, hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, senior writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, author of How to Fight Presidents, and current heat wave survivor Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hey, everybody. I'm Soren Bowie. I write for American Dad. And I'm curious, Dan, did you mic yourself as safe on Facebook?
I'm not on Facebook, so I did shriek about my safety on Nextdoor.
Oh, okay.
That's where I do everything.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Just let everyone know it's okay. So how? Give me a ballpark. What are you dealing with in terms of temperature and humidity?
It's not too humid by the shore, which is nice. We've got a little bit of an ocean breeze going, but it's about 90 degrees. I've been trying to schedule my run before work in the morning because it's the only time I can run without like feeling like I'm choking out here. And it's just rough, man. I do most of my work on the porch because it's cooler to have a breeze than it is to sit inside right now. Because the air conditioning is not great.
Just not up to snuff.
No. Thanks to Avast for supporting Quick Question. With Avast One, you can confidently take control of your online world by helping you stay safe from viruses, phishing attacks, ransomware, hacking attempts, and other cybercrimes. Learn more about Avast One at avast.com. And it's just hot, and I'm a baby about it, and I look at the weather for the upcoming 10 days, and it's still going to be hot. It's just hot all the way through, and
there's no light at the end of the tunnel. That's tough.
Yeah.
Now, I've spent some time in Jersey. So I grew up in Colorado, which is very dry. I lived in California, which is also very dry. I go to Arizona frequently, which is, very dry.
Sure.
The few times that I've been to the East Coast, I'm oppressed by the humidity, even on the shore. Like, I've been to Ocean City and stuff, and I get there, and I'm just like, at night, I'm like,
yeah,
it's like I'm wearing a blanket. What's going on here?
It's thicker. It's bad. It's and again, there's just no way of avoiding it. You just like sit here and you just be hot all day. I have work. I can't just like go to the movies and cool off.
Yeah, that was the other thing. I was always on vacation, so it didn't really matter that my head was under a blanket the whole time. But like,
yeah,
you actually have to like get stuff done. You have deadlines.
Yes, I do. And just even doing this podcast, I think if you listen back, I slowed down during the intro because part of my brain thinks if I go slower, it won't use as much energy,
right,
and I will cool down. It's not working. Let me peel back the curtain a little bit. I'm just in a bathing suit, no shirt, sitting in my home, recording this stupid fucking podcast, and I'm just pouring with sweat.
That's going to be a gross chair at the end.
I know. I have to get rid of the chair now.
Well, it makes sense. When you run out of steam, there's obviously less steam in the room at the end.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not crazy.
I have bad news for you, Dan. I did another podcast yesterday.
Okay.
And
do I know the podcast?
I don't know. It's called, it's by Ben Mendelsohn.
What?
Not
it can't be by Ben Mendelsohn.
Sorry.
You did a podcast with Ben Mendelsohn where they go through every episode of Bloodline and he gives his thoughts on it. And he's like, I remember that. Or remember
he was
Drowning
really
in
kind
it.
In that he let me go on. He let me do Animal Kingdom for him.
Oh, cool.
I was very excited to talk about that.
That's a real thrill for you.
It's a podcast called What Are You Working On? BJ Mendelsohn is the one who did it. The B is short for Ben, and then the J is obviously for Jalstrillion. much. So yeah, I did this podcast, and at the beginning of it, he asked me what I was doing, and I told him about our podcast, and I said that we were a, he asked me a little bit about it, and I said we were a once in a generation podcast, and that all the critics are saying that. And so we have a lot of work to do.
Wow.
Because I think this airs in like September, and we got to get to that point.
You know what I'd be very, what I would consider a real boon for us as a podcast is to even like have critics at all. I don't think like we rate or rank anywhere. We had one, what was it, Vulture write up for us?
Well, that'd be nice. I didn't even know that.
A year ago, but like I don't think, I feel like there's a tier of podcasts that critics pay attention to, yeah, and we have not been elevated to that tier yet. We are still just a phone call that leaked in the minds of a lot of people in this community.
You know what? That's exactly where we should be, I think. I don't think we need to be on the radar, because right now we're in like a place where our 12 listeners are like, I found this thing, and yeah, it's just mine.
Right. And I understand they're being very protective of it. They don't want anyone else to listen to it, and they're doing a great job making sure that happens.
Yeah, no word of mouth happening whatsoever. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's kind of like people just sitting on a party line.
Yeah,
like every night they know these two friends talk, and so they hop on the party line, and they're like, "Okay, let's see what's going on in their lives."
Hey, can I ask you a quick question?
Please.
What are you talking about?
Oh shit! You're 4 years younger than me. You don't know what a party line is.
No.
Okay. Back in the day.
Hell yeah. I'm going to take this opportunity to cool way down.
Back in the day, when telephones still had cords on them, you would occasionally pick up your phone to make a call, and there'd just be some other people talking on your phone already. And it's not other people in your house. Other people in your neighborhood would be on the phone, and you're all sharing a line together. It's called a party line. And
what?
Yeah. So you'd have to wait till they were done with their conversation. Now, the polite etiquette thing to do was to pick up the phone. You hear somebody talking, you hang up, and then you just wait a little while. And then to make your call, you would pick up the phone later. And if you get a dial tone, you're golden. But I grew up in a place
now,
where—
that's my question. Is this early 1980s, or is this early 1980s specific to that weird town where you're all baptized in the same well?
You know, I can't possibly answer that question because I have no context for the rest of the world. I assume everybody had party lines at some time in the early 1980s.
Man.
Because they're just like, I don't know. There were 100 people, as far as I know, back then. And there just weren't a lot of phone calls being made. And so,
would you like coordinate it to be on the same, on the phone with a bunch of your buddies at once?
No.
Is that a thing that you could do?
I think you probably could. Yeah, I think you absolutely could do that. We never did. It was just a thing that we all had to share, and it's like a timeshare telephone, and we were all very polite about it. Except when I was a child, obviously I'd be very curious. So if I'd hear conversations going on, I would just sit on and listen to stories about how Mike Trulove has to go up to the Coke ovens on Friday. Oh God.
Incredible. Incredible. Back when we used to make names like Mike Trulove.
Yeah. So party lines, I want to assume that a lot of people had them, but it's entirely possible that it was just us. Certainly in cities, I think it would have been untenable. But where I was, I mean, you could look out anywhere from my house, you can't see a neighbor's house. And so there was probably like 12 of us all sharing a line. And I don't know, man. It just felt like you know what? This makes perfect sense. As much as I use the telephone now, that's how much people I think use the telephone then. It was like, please don't ever call me.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
You see, now I got to look it up.
I wonder why that missed me. I wonder, because like I have older brothers and older parents. So you'd think that one of them would have mentioned party lines to me at some point. Like, we're not that far apart in age that this is a whole phenomenon that should have missed me.
God, I'm seeing a lot of stuff from like 1960s about party lines. I think maybe my little enclave of the woods was the last holdout. But yeah, my friend also had one at his house. He lived up the Redstone Valley. Redstone's where I got married. There's like a, mm-hmm. it's a tiny little valley at the base of Silpress. And he had one as well, but he also had one of those rotary telephones too, which I loved as a kid. Because yeah. you're doing so much work. It's like you're busy as you're making a call.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you had no time for anything else. It's like, hey, hey, mom, I need the phone for like a 5-minute prologue and then the actual phone call.
Right. Nobody talked to me for the next 5 minutes while I put this number in. But like getting it, like if you get to do zero or something like that, where you get to go all the way around the phone. I can't remember if it was 0 or 9. And then you let it go and just like, it feels so good. It's like kickstarting a motorcycle.
I do think we have phone technology has come so far, you know, it's great, but we've lost there's nothing on my iPhone that is as satisfying as the sound that a rotary phone made when you dialed a 9 or a 0, whatever it was. Yeah. It was like there was a physical connection to it that felt great. And now phones are unpleasant.
Yeah, it was so tactile. It was really fun.
But now they're just weird hot mirrors covered in sweat, covered in ear sweat.
More than that, man. There's wherever my hands have been all day, it's all over my phone. Just like just this film of grease. And you can tell the places where I touch the phone the most. And that's really like, oh man.
Sometimes I'll go for a run and like I usually have my phone in my hand when I'm running. But I'll occasionally move it to my pocket. And then it comes out of my pocket wet. And it was like, well, I've never thought about that moisture before. It can't be, it shouldn't be on the phone, I bet. Just like thigh sweat, if I'm being charitable.
Have you, quick question for you, Dan. What type of case do you have on your phone? Is it plastic?
I have whatever that case is where it's like the case that takes up the least amount of room. Okay. But still protects your phone from getting dropped all the time.
Okay. And on the back, do you ever just like, this is going to be gross. Do you ever just like develop some, like in certain areas, there's just like all of a sudden like a crusty area.
Oh, sure. Like, yeah.
What the fuck is that? Yeah. You're scraping at like a little section, like picking a scab basically off your phone. What is that? Yeah. Where's that coming from? My hands aren't that filthy when I'm using it.
I'm not interested in investigating that.
It's none of my business.
The internet's a scary place. Avast is a global leader in cyber protection for more than 30 years and trusted by over 435 million users and prevents over, get ready, 1.5 billion attacks every month. Avast empowers you with digital safety and privacy, no matter who you are, where you are, or how you connect. Who I am? Daniel. Where I am? Jersey. How I connect with the internet. Enjoy the opportunities that come with being connected on your terms. Avast's new all-in-one solution, Avast One, helps you take control of your safety and privacy online through a range of features. Avast's free version includes all the essential features such as free antivirus, free VPN, and free firewall protection. Avast Premium version has even more advanced protection and allows you to protect multiple devices. Avast Performance products clean up and speed up your devices. That's great for me. I hate a slow device. Avast Security solutions stop malware, phishing, and virus attacks. That's great. I hate virus attacks. And Avast privacy feature keeps your identity and actions hidden. That's great. My actions are shameful. One of the things I love about Avast is they do data breach monitoring. They enable you to find out if your online accounts have been compromised and whether your passwords need to be changed. This is huge. Data miners are everywhere. They're also great with ransomware protection. Secures your personal photos, documents, and other files from being modified, deleted, or encrypted by ransomware attacks. And they have a smart scan that finds and removes viruses and resolves the most common privacy and performance issues through an optimization scan. I love Avast One. Thanks to Avast for supporting Quick Question. Confidently take control of your online world with Avast One. It helps you stay safe from viruses, phishing attacks, ransomware, hacking attempts, and other cyber crimes. Learn more about Avast One at avast.com. Should we get into the show?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we asked each other some silly quick questions, but that's not what the show is. We ask each other very serious quick questions.
Hard-hitting questions.
Yeah. Can I go first this time, Daniel?
Sure.
I have a quick question for you.
Go.
Is there a celebrity that you think you could be really good friends with in the world? Like, you just see them. You see them in interviews. You see them. I guess you can get a little glimmer of this if they're an actor or something. In their roles, but just mostly it's in interviews and just the way that they present themselves where you're like, you know what? I think we could be really good friends. I think if the opportunity presented itself, we would get along really, really great. And I want you to make your case for a celebrity and we'll put that out into the world.
Yeah. Here's what's weird. I have a couple answers. There are some that even before you threw this to me on the podcast, there are some celebrities that I see that I think, man, he'd really get along with Soren. Like, I take myself out of the equation. But I look at someone like Chris Pine and I'm like, yeah, they would be tight for sure. If they were on a set together, they would come up with games and they would have a lot of fun.
I want to be friends with Chris Pine so bad.
I think you could.
It feels like maybe I was in Smoking Aces, doesn't it?
I think there's a chance. Yeah, for sure. I guess I don't think about it as like one-on-one, the celebrity would be friends with me, but mm-hmm. I do think there are celebrities that could be integrated into my group of friends.
Okay.
If that's a clearer answer, like,
yeah.
Jenny Slate is someone who I think would really enjoy. I've read a million interviews with her. I've read her book. I've seen everything that she puts out, and she's incredibly fun and open and joyful in her interviews in a way that I think would really integrate well with like my childhood friends. This group of people, we go to the Poconos in a cabin in the woods in Pennsylvania every year, and we just like cook and watch TV and sing songs and play really stupid games and hang out just relaxing in this spot for a weekend. And I think she would love it. She would really enjoy this group of people and this thing that we do. And I say it needs to be this group because I feel like in a lifetime, most women have seen enough men and types of guys that like one-on-one, I don't think I'd be like, hey, Jenny, let's you and I hang out. I don't think I'm getting my foot in the door that way.
I don't know. I think you're selling yourself short because,
yeah,
because you guys have some very common interests. It's clear just from the things that you produce that you, for a long time in your life, made little claymation versions of everyone at your school and did live as to get stop action movies with them.
Okay.
And
I don't think it's fair to say that I did that for a long time. I did it
years after high school.
I did it really hard for a short period of time.
The first time I went to your apartment in LA, just walls of people. And she, I mean, clearly she's got a background in that. I don't think that Marcel the Shell came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I think that was like, probably something that she'd already been, I think she probably had a very similar high school experience to you.
Yeah.
And I think you guys could bond over that.
Thank you. I hope so.
She's great too. She's so funny.
I think about her for this question. And I also think about Dakota Johnson. I just read a great Vanity Fair profile of Dakota Johnson. And she just seems like an incredibly cool, doesn't give a shit type of person, which neither of those things describe me, but she does seem like razor focused on having fun and not in a very like classically Hollywood sort of way. Just like, she just seems like a fun, cool person who happens to be a great actress because she was born of acting parents and lived in LA, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like someone who was thrust into acting because like, yeah, of course she would be based on her parents being Don Johnson and
Melanie Griffith.
Yeah. It's sort of like a no-brainer that she would be into this world, but I very easily feel like, oh, if those weren't your parents, then we would have met waiting tables at Ruby Tuesday or something like that. And you would have just been like a cool girl that I would make it my business to become friends with. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean, she seems nice, but can't do anything about that. So,
is there nothing we could do about that?
So, Daniel, you know my background, that I know her pretty well.
Yes.
And she is very cool. She's funny. She's nice. She's kind. It seems like I'm trying to remember if there's ever been a time where you two were just in the same room. And I can't think of why it would have been.
I don't think so.
But that could happen. I mean, that could happen for you. Do you want it to happen?
Yeah, I would like that. I would like, okay. So here's my three. I want to hang out with Jenny Slate. I want to hang out with Dakota Johnson. And this is the longest of long shots because he's such a big deal now. But Taika Waititi, I think if he would just give me the time, I could impress him and he would like me. I don't know that there's any room for me to get in there at this point because he has like, he's living a fabulous life and hops around on islands with actually famous people. And I feel like probably the door is shut on that. But I really think like, hey man, I'm also an incredibly silly soft boy comedy person. I think it's like, let's just have lunch and chat, man. And I think you'll agree that I could be one of your friends.
Imagine making Taika Waititi laugh.
I know.
How good you would feel about yourself. If he like, and it was one of those ones where like, he was like, he closed his eyes. It was like,
yeah. That is something like I am sincerely like both manifesting that. And also like the pilots that I'm writing in my spare time now are things that were like, I want to get this in front of Taika Waititi if he wants to produce a new show and also be my friend. Like it's very, I'm engineering my pilots for someone else's sensibilities to get onto their radar a little bit.
Yeah, he is somebody who I respect and am in awe of, but I just don't think that I'm cool enough for Taika Waititi.
Yeah. I don't
He's
think so. I
so
mean, like
cool.
a few years ago, the last WGA Awards, he was at the table next to ours because Last Week Tonight was nominated and that was the year he was nominated for Jojo Rabbit. And I went into the, we get almost no one for the East Coast WGA Awards feeds because it's like mostly late night variety. They announce all the categories simultaneously in LA and New York, but we just like, there's not a lot of action happening in New York. So you don't see a ton of really, really famous people at our show. But this year, Taika was there at the table next to us. And I genuinely might have said, oh no, when I saw him, because I was not prepared to see anyone that famous, A, and B, not prepared to see anyone that I would be that starstruck by. And, right. And because like, I don't get starstruck often and I'm not prepared for it. I really walked into a place thinking like, what am I going to do? See fucking Bill Maher, who gives a shit? Oh no, it's Taika. And he saw me.
Do you think, and I want you to search your heart when you answer this question, is part of the appeal of being friends with him is that you think you might also meet Tessa Thompson?
100%.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think their chances are high that if you were buddies, that would happen.
Yeah.
And boy, is that a boon. That would be a sure. to get. Yeah. Well, one of mine is...
Taika will be so crushed when he finds out that I only became friends with him to get to Tessa. We can't ever... release this podcast. He can't know that.
There are a lot of people that when we used to go to like Comic-Con or like we go to Calgary at the Stampede and stuff, where there'd be people who would come up and they would be like, oh my God, you're from Cracked. And like, they'd want to talk and it seemed very exciting. And I was like, this person knows, like I've never met this person. This is a stranger who just likes me. And then they'd be like, is Daniel O'Brien around? I'm like, oh, fuck you. Okay. I get it. I get it. And I wonder if Taika is just dealing with that constantly ever since like a People magazine came out where there are pictures of him with Tessa, where everyone else is just like, suddenly everyone you meet, you'd have to be like, yeah. Hold on a second. Do you want a job? Do you want to sell me a script? Do you want to meet Tessa? Those are the things, right. Like those are non-starters for me.
Yeah. And it's tough whenever those fans would come up to you, you would have to cover for me because I was always out fucking.
Yeah, you're always out fucking.
And you had to be like, no, he's in his hotel room preparing for a panel.
Yeah.
And you just knew that I was
in the bathroom
pounding it out. Yeah.
I had to be like, don't go in there. He's in there, but you can't go in because he's just drowning and fucking right now. So one of mine is actually pretty close to that. Rhys Darby. Is it Rhys or Rhys?
I think Rhys.
Rhys? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rhys Darby, I think, is such a cool guy. I think that he's so funny. I love everything that he does. And I also feel like we would get along really well. Yeah. There's some issues, obviously. There's like a little bit of a generational gap. Mm-hmm. There's, but he's also, you know, we no, every single person that I meet, I'm like picking at their background and I'm just like finding the thing, the foothold where I'm like, ah, we share that in common. That's what we're going to talk about. And boy, that's really tough to do with somebody from the other side of the world.
Yeah.
He is 5'10 and a half though. And that's the exact same height that I am. And so I think that we're going to get along great. We see eye to eye. You understand?
This is, I don't know if this is a...
Damn, we see eye to eye.
No, I got it. Very good. I don't know if this is a rude question or not for you or for him, but did you specifically pick someone like this? You didn't pick George Clooney.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, you're saying, did you set the bar where you think it's attainable?
Yeah, did you pick an attainable person? Yes.
No, I don't think that there's ever a chance that I'd be able to hang out with Reese Darby. I think that there might be an opportunity sometime when I would get to meet him.
Yeah.
Potentially in my life, but I don't think that I would ever get to, we'd ever be in an opportunity to hang out or that he'd want to hang out with me.
Yeah.
I got to earn it. You know what I'm saying? Like I need half an hour alone with him to like really make him see, oh no, I like this guy.
It would be very funny if you did answer the question with someone who you knew you could get where it was like, Cody Johnston from the Some More News podcast. I really think he and I would hit it off win.
Well, it's possible I did this subconsciously because the other person I've chosen, and this is not a knock against him, is Dax Shepard.
Okay.
I think that we would get along great.
Yeah. Is he from Colorado also?
No. Doesn't seem like it though.
Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah. He's from Michigan. But he grew up in a small suburb of Michigan. Then he moved to Los Angeles and he went to Santa Monica Community College and then he went to UCLA. And I've got a lot to say about both those places. Because I
what
live
do
right
to
next
say
to
about, oh, you live
Santa
next
Monica
to
Community
Santa
College.
Monica?
Yeah. Oh. I lived right near there. And then do you remember we used to work with a guy named Johan?
Yeah.
He went to Santa Monica Community College. So I know a ton about it. So I've got like a lot of insider knowledge about like things that people like, things that people don't like. They have a football team that's very funny. They just get destroyed at all these community college games. And then he also went to UCLA, which is where my wife works. And I think, I also think that his wife and my wife are very, very similar.
Yes.
They've got a game show together. I don't know if you've ever watched it. Dak and his wife. It's called.
His wife, Kristen Bell, for the listeners, who I also think would be a great addition to my friend group. Jeez. Not necessarily want to hang out with me, but like,
oh God, what a get she would be.
She would love all the people that I have around me.
Okay. They've got I think it's called Family Game Night. Their game show. Oh, it's called Family Game Fight.
Ah.
With an exclamation point. So we both work on shows with an exclamation point at the end.
Yeah.
That's exciting. But yeah, to hear them interact with each other on the show is really, it's like, it feels so, it's just like stripped from my family. And
yeah.
She's very funny. She's also like very, she's just an open book. How much she loves sloths, and when she doesn't understand something, she's very open about it. She's like, I don't get this. I don't get this game.
Yeah. She is someone, I think, points against me being her friend is that she is someone who has publicly in the past said very nice things about Last Week Tonight, about the show that I write for. And that to me means like, I'm not really like that show. You wouldn't like me. I don't talk about the news. You wouldn't like me in real life. I'm only doing that for work.
I have a few for you, Dan, that I want to run past you. Yes. First of all, I'm going to give you a few names and I want you to tell me if any of them like are appealing to you.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen Bell is on this list, by the way.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to tell you why she's on the list. Okay. Kristen Stewart, Jennifer Aniston,
okay,
Lady Gaga, Jason Momoa.
You know that I know what you're doing, right?
Zac Efron. Oh, you do? What do you think all these people have in common?
New Jersey, baby?
No.
No.
These are celebrities who like rock climbing.
Ooh, like me.
Like you. You're a rock climber.
Kristen Stewart likes rock climbing? That's so fucking cool.
Well, so here's what I'm suspicious of, because I mean, I remember when I was trying to be an actor and I had a resume and at the bottom, I put my special interests and you throw in anything that makes you sound great in there. And like, it's something that you've done one time. I kayaked for a season once when I was in high school and I will put kayaking on there. I'll put like rodeo kayaking on there, which is like,
oh yeah, that's horseback like riding. Sure.
I'll put anything on there. And so I'm wondering if a lot of that people have just found old headshots or something like that. And then be like, oh yeah, Lea Michele, she goes on the list. She likes rock climbing and she's done it maybe once in her life, or she's scrambled up a rock once.
Yeah.
But it does seem like Kristen Bell's genuinely into it. It does seem like Zac Efron is definitely into it.
Yeah. And Kristen Stewart. That would be cool.
Kristen Stewart. I would love to go climbing with them.
Yeah. I think Kristen Stewart is a fantastic actor, an incredibly cool person, and like one of the most watchable movie stars around. That has nothing to do with this episode. It's just a thing that I feel in my heart that I think about all the time. And I don't say it enough, Soren.
She's very compelling. I'll agree with that. Anything that she's in, you can't really stop watching her. She's always doing interesting things. I think I wouldn't get along with her though. watching her in interviews, obviously maybe she just hates press junkets, but she seems like somebody who's so like bored by it that I'd be sweating my balls off trying to like impress
her. I feel the same where when I meet someone, I'm very much doing a press junket interview for them. I'm asking questions and trying to find something fun to talk about. And if she's just done an entire weekend of that, then fucking forget it. I'm out.
I would be trying way too hard, and it would be clear that I'm trying to, because I don't know how to hide that. And so like,
it's how I am on first dates too. I'm like, so what can you tell us about what's coming up for you next? What are you excited about for the future? Your last relationship ended 6 months ago. Do you have any fun stories from that? Do you guys like to play pranks on each other, or come on?
I saw you in some of your photos on Instagram and you were some sort of gala. Now, what were you wearing? What was that? Anyway, I think that I used to think it was Jake Plummer. I thought for sure, who was a quarterback for the Broncos, who was just always seemed like he had that Eli Manning syndrome where he just hated football. Yeah. Every time you see him on the sidelines, he looked like, oh, thank God. Thank God I'm done being out there. I have to go back. Are you kidding me? He had that feel to him, and he just looked like he was just a very mellow guy. And I was like, Jake Plummer speed.
I don't think there's a single athlete that would want to be friends with me.
Really?
Maybe
Ronaldo.
Maybe Zach LaVine, basketball player for the Bulls. He likes Last Week Tonight. Maybe we could talk about that. I don't know. I used to think I could be good friends with Paul Pierce.
Yeah, that checks out.
I like bowling and he likes bowling. And I also don't mind sitting around talking about how great Paul Pierce is. Like, that's fun for me too. And I know he loves doing that. So I feel like we could make a whole day of it.
I think actually you would get along really well with Joel Embiid.
Really?
I do. He's a very funny guy.
Because of our love of Stoic philosophy?
No.
Huh.
He's so funny. Have you ever heard him interviewed? He's quick. He's smart.
I've heard him interviewed. I don't think I've heard him being funny though.
He's very funny. He's funny on Twitter. He's like, he gets it. And he gets it.
Oh yeah, that's right. I used to see him on Twitter all the time being hilarious. That's right.
Yeah. Okay, I think that you guys would get along great. I think he'd be psyched to have that in his, like, that notch in his belt too, of like somebody from the news, comedy news.
I write the news.
I'm gonna set it up.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah. All right. That's all I had for you.
Oh wait, I had a quick question. I don't know if this will get us any mileage, but it's because you mentioned Dax Shepard being from Michigan. Mm-hmm. This came up at work the other day without Googling. So, in a quick question, what's the Midwest?
Ohio.
That's right. That's what I said too.
All right. Let's see if I can define it. I'm going to give you like a range. I'm going to give you a northeast, southeast, northwest, mm-hmm. Some quadrants, so a square to make in the middle of the country. I'm going to say Northeast, it goes as far as Michigan and then it stops, like Michigan and Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Then southeast, oh, this gets tough. I wouldn't put like Kentucky or anything like that in there. I guess just Ohio. It doesn't go because it's all south below that. So Ohio. And then I think west, you'd go all the way to Kansas, like Nebraska.
I went as far west as Idaho. Like my answer was Ohio, et cetera. And then my coworker was like, no, be as specific as possible. And I was like, Ohio, Illinois, the Fargo states, Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and maybe Idaho. Idaho shocked people.
Well, yeah, that's west. But I wouldn't call it northwest. It's not like Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
But there's, the Dakotas feel like they should be Midwest, but they are definitely not. They're like,
what
I don't
they?
Think people consider them Midwest, do they?
What else would they be?
The West.
I think this is one of the things that we learned is that people from the Midwest have very specific definitions of it, and none of the rest of the country thinks about it at all, which isn't a knock on the Midwest. I mean, like, I obviously think about New Jersey and California more than anyone else in the world, but it was interesting to me to realize in real time, oh, I guess I've literally never thought about what I mean when I say the Midwest. No. I mean Ohio.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's what I meant too. I just looked at a map and I didn't realize that Michigan sits right on top of Ohio. When I gave like those quadrants, I was like, and then there's like six states and then Ohio's down there. I don't even know what our country looks like. Yeah, it really is just a tiny little box up in that corner.
Yeah.
I mean, up in the very middle. I guess North Dakota and South Dakota would qualify. Definitely Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, mm-hmm. Nebraska, Kansas. Those feel right. And so I would even group Oklahoma in there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but then Arkansas is definitely south.
Arkansas, south. Oklahoma feels south to me, but I don't really think about the West often. I think about California as the West Coast, and I think about Pacific Northwest as its own very specific thing.
Yeah.
But I guess anything between California and where I day to day decide the Midwest ends doesn't exist to me.
It does feel like it should be like the Rocky Mountains is really the delineating factor.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's like, because there's tons of Wyoming and there's tons of Montana where even some of Colorado that's just nothing but prairie and flatlands. It feels very Midwest, but it's not.
Yeah.
I don't think.
No.
I don't know what qualifies. Wait, so somebody asked you this question. Did they have an answer for it?
Yeah. I mean, well, two Midwesterners had a private conversation and they were like, all right, we're going to open this up to the rest. Like, it was clear that there was a fight.
Yeah.
And it was time to open it up to the rest of the staff. I mean, like, let's see where the New York and California elites think the Midwest is. And we're all like, oh, buddy,
don't
wrong
ask
group.
Us. Did anybody have any more crazy answers than Idaho?
The craziest answer that still made a whole lot of sense was one of my coworkers said, Western Pennsylvania? And I'm like, yeah, that's right. For sure.
Oh, God.
Western Pennsylvania is the Midwest.
It does. And like West Virginia feels like it should be the Midwest.
Yeah.
It's just not. Kentucky, those places, Tennessee, I've never been to them, so I can't say for sure. No. But
you've been to Tennessee.
Put them in there. Oh, yeah. We've been in Nashville.
Yeah.
Just doesn't qualify, though.
That was my other question for my coworkers was, if you're from Chicago, do you think you're from the Midwest or do you think you're from Chicago?
Right.
And she said both, which is, I'm sure, the right answer, but in my mind, if you're from Chicago, I don't think you're from the Midwest.
It does feel different. It feels in the same way where you're like, if you're from Austin, you're not really from Texas. You're from Austin.
Yeah.
It just is a little enclave of its own. So here's the thing, though, is that this is the area that's going to survive the coming apocalypse. When global warming starts having all these fires and crazy storms all over the country and the world.
Yeah, this when area, that happens.
But I mean, even
when we start having crazy storms and fires
in 30 years, when it starts to feel very apocalyptic, this area, I mean, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, these places are going to be like the last vestiges of places with water, I feel like.
You want to say that about Michigan?
Yeah, I mean,
don't they still have a water crisis?
Michigan's got a water crisis?
Flint, Michigan, don't they like famously have?
They've got tainted water. They've got water with lead in it? No, what is it? I can't remember. They've got some sort of poison in their water. Yes, that's correct. But I mean, just in terms of like actual access to water, any water at all, I feel like that's going to be the last places you can go, where also it's not the threat of forest fires constantly. I feel like this is going to be the part of the country that's going to be where all the real estate is, because you can't really live anywhere else year round.
Man, this is a natural segue. Do we have time? We got time. We're going to have a long episode.
Yeah.
Hey, Soren, quick question.
Go ahead.
And I swear this is relevant. Mm-hmm. Did you read or were you aware of Tucker Max growing up?
Yes.
Okay.
Do they serve beer in hell, right?
Yes. Yeah. I hope they serve beer in hell. As quickly as possible to explain this person, he rose to fame writing essays about drinking and fucking and just being generally inappropriate, and was incredibly successful because he was publishing them for free online in 2004 and beyond. And this is a period of time, where the options for written comedy online were very thin on the ground. You had so few places to turn to. And if you wanted an essay, like a long read about something that wasn't the news or wasn't about sports, your options were like Tucker Max or Maddox or Sean Baby, like kind of very aggressively male, lightly misogynistic, sometimes not so lightly misogynistic, aggressive essays. And he became incredibly famous and wealthy writing these stories under the subgenre that he created called Fratire. And he published books. They made a movie of one of his books. And he also, I mean, obviously one of the reasons that he's successful is this type of the drunk alpha character that he'd been writing as found great purchase in 14-year-old sad weird boys on the internet, which I was like, not even 14 in 2004 or whatever. I was still like, as an 18-year-old, was like, this guy seems cool, this guy who's like getting out and fucking all the time and like not apologizing seems like an interesting guy.
It was like gonzo journalism that was accessible for a 14-year-old.
And I check in on this person every once in a while because I think about my time as a young, confused person reading him. And I think like, oh, thank God I found other writers like Jay Pinkerton and David Wong, other people who are writing online. And I was like, oh no, this is much more my style. I much more prefer this type of comedy writing. And then thank God for Jack O'Brien inventing crack. That I was like, okay, yeah, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Right.
'Cause without those things, I could have very much been like one of these strange Tucker Max acolytes.
But so you want to be, he's the celebrity you want to be friends with, isn't he?
He's the celebrity you want to be friends with. But I check in on him every once in a while, just out of curiosity, because obviously he couldn't still be doing that. He couldn't still be doing like, right, I got drunk and picked up a girl at a bar stories at his age and at this time in society.
Right.
So I wanted to know what he was doing. A few times I've looked into him, he's been like a vague entrepreneur starting vague businesses. And what he's doing now is this thing that he's calling a movement called Doomer Optimism. He is, I hope it's not rude to say, gone completely insane. He has moved to a ranch. He is so afraid that the world is going to end, but he's not calling himself a prepper. Yeah. He's a Doomer Optimist. And he's on this ranch where he's raising and like killing and cooking his own food. And he's telling everybody that they need to prepare for the end of the world. It's going to happen sooner rather than later. He thinks everything that's happened in the last few years has been a psyops, like a
psychological operation by the government.
Thank you. Yeah. He doesn't know who is conducting it or to what end, but he is just like very convinced. And his military buddies have assured him, yeah, this is a PSYOPs operation happening to control the populace. So you need to go somewhere where you can control your food and control your water and like forget all institutions. You are just living on your own compound now. And his tips are certainly live on a ranch, certainly become friends with people in your community, certainly get weapons training, get MMA training, get knife training, and be strapped at all times. It's like very scary. It's very weird. It's the most surprising place for him to end up to me when I'm looking like, oh, what's this alpha bro doing now? And it's like, oh, he's raising a family militia on a farm in Texas now. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. If I like just on the dartboard of where I anticipated him being, that's not too far from it. I expected him to be like taking a route like Milo Yiannopoulos, where he's just like, I'm going to say some incendiary stuff. And then I'm going to try and back it up somehow. And like, the more incendiary, the better. And like, that's all I want to do with my life. The fact that he's kind of doing like he does, it sounds like he genuinely believes it though. Like he genuinely believes that the government, with COVID doesn't like, I assume that's a PSYOP.
Yes.
That there's.
So here's his writing. In April, 2020, I started to smell a rat. I'm no expert in infectious disease or epidemiology, but I know media very well, and it all felt too coordinated and aligned. Something felt very wrong. I just didn't know what. By early May, I knew the whole thing was bullshit. I'm not saying COVID isn't real. For people over 60 or with underlying health conditions, it can clearly be very serious, even fatal. But for healthy people, the infection fatality ratio is lower than the flu. Something wasn't adding up. And here's an insane pivot, Soren. It's settled science. We know this now, not then. But even then, the pandemic just wasn't ending up. Then the George Floyd tape came out and all hell broke loose.
Yeah, they're connected. It's all one big tie up.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. So here's my next question is that it in the reading of this, is he like, is there any element of him that sort of sounds gleeful that the end is coming?
A little bit. Yeah. I think that's where the optimist part comes from. And like talking about this with friends, a buddy of mine was like, oh no, I'm not surprised by this. He always in all of his writing at any time in his life, wanted to be the smartest guy in the room who saw through the bullshit. And this is definitely more of that where he's, you know, the only one who sees the end of the world coming and it might be in 3 years and it might be in 15 years and it might not happen. But he thinks it's going to happen. Yeah, and if it doesn't happen, he's still right anyway.
Right. Yeah. The part that worries me is that you're familiar with accelerationists, right?
No.
Okay. So there's a group of people that they don't necessarily have a political leaning. I think a lot of them are right wing. And they want it for different reasons. But there are people that are call themselves accelerationists because they are accelerating the whatever the end of the world is to them. So in some cases it's a race war, in some cases it's like the apocalypse for like religious people, for others it's just the collapse of society, which is like a much more anarchistic anarchy view. Mm-hmm. But they've all sort of found each other online. Where would you have heard of them? Oh, Dylan Roof is one.
Okay.
And Dylan Roof is like their hero. Like there's a lot of the people that call themselves that, I don't know if they call themselves the bull cuts or whatever, but they're people who saw him as leading the charge of accelerationism. And that's a really dangerous group online. I feel like they're some of the most dangerous people in society because it's only to destroy. Like their main goal is like, no, let's just get to the end. So like whatever gets us to the end fastest is like, that's the way we're going to take. So they want to, like, even if they believe in global warming, it's like good. Even if animals are going extinct, they're like, it's good. Even if like anything that happens between police, like how much, what's happened with police in the last few years. And like everyone kind of realizing that the police are these gangs, essentially these kind of roving gangs in cities. They're like, good, take down the police. So like they kind of like fit onto all sides a little bit. And so these people find themselves they can adapt into these groups very easily where the cause that they're associating with can actually be a good cause, but that's not what their end goal is. Their end goal is to just kill everything. And I'm worried that that's what he's become.
I think, yeah, there are a thousand reasons to worry about him. Like, it would be fun to be completely detached and just laugh at what seems like a guy who fell for conspiracy theories and has changed his life because of it. But it's not as fun because I'm like 95% certain that he's going to one day accidentally shoot his neighbor or family member
right.
because he's cosplaying SEAL Team 6 or something like that. And if that doesn't happen, I also feel like if you put this guy and his family alone on a compound preparing for the end of the world, and then the end of the world doesn't happen, he's not going to be like, well, I was wrong. Time to go back to society. He's going to snap in some other way to try to, I guess, like these people, accelerate the end of the world.
Yeah, where they feel it's more important that they're right than anything yeah. else. And that's really, yeah, it's scary. Every time that I fall into those rabbit holes where I'm like researching those type of people, I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this to myself? Like, it's not benefiting my life in any way. I can't change them from where I am. Like, it's yeah. so scary and not worth my time.
Yeah. The interesting thing that our friend Jason Pargin pointed out, because I sent this to him too, because I knew he would be aware of Tucker Max and I just wanted to get his thoughts on it. He pointed out rightfully that it's not enough for Tucker Max to just live this lifestyle. It has to be a brand. It has to be, he can't even call it prepping like everyone else yeah. does. It's I'm a doomer optimist. I'm a new thing. And in fact, it's a movement. And in fact, I have to talk about it. It's a brand. It's a podcast. It's a lifestyle. And I'm living it. Like, it would be very easy for him to not do any of those things. And just like, if he thinks the end of the world is coming, just go and live like it is. But no, he needs to package and brand and sell it, which is very sad and very funny, especially because I did some more tooling around on Tucker's website. And he's also part of an organization called Front Row Dads. And Front Row Dads redirects to a website about dads. And I did just a little bit of digging around. Soren, I'm pretty sure it's just friendship. I'm pretty sure he just like found other dads that he talks to about fatherhood. And he's incapable of like just having friends. It has to be like, no, we're Front Row Dads. We're part of a new movement about entrepreneurs/fathers. It's like, okay, I think you guys just like each other, and that's okay.
He has just to have that. His angle. He's got to yeah. have his angle on it. It's different from everybody else's. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. This is it has like this kind of like aggressive color scheme and font to it. But the things that are listed on it are things like thriving marriage, emotional intelligence. Yeah. it looks like a vision board from Pinterest.
Yeah.
Amazing. But everything's in blood red.
Yeah.
it looks like a man soap.
Yeah.
Good for
right. Any of those products where it's like, your fucking nuts are sweaty. Get these dude wipes for your fucking nuts. And I'm like, yeah. It's the same ingredients as soap, but I appreciate it meeting me at my level.
What's his involvement with this thing? Is he's deeply invested?
He's just a part of it. I don't know.
I mean, I guess that's good. It's actually it's comforting to know that he has children, because
yeah.
I don't see how you can be somebody who wants to hasten the end of the world when you have children. Yeah.
It does seem like Front Row Dads right off the bat is the wrong thing when they're like, we help dads win with their wife, win with their children, yeah. win at home. Yeah. Like, no. Yeah. Come on, guys. What are you trying to make your wife lose at?
I'm reading some of it right now, and it does have that. It's very aggressive. It's like aggressive yeah. dadding.
Yes.
But they're you know what it is? Oh, you know what this is? This is if you've ever had to read a baby book, there's always a section in it for dads. And in every single case, it's so condescending. It's like, listen, it's time to put down that beer and pick up the baby wipes, because yeah. you're going to be changing diapers. Like you didn't, you don't even know yeah. what a baby is with the way that it treats you.
Right.
It's so condescending. And like the bar is so low. And a lot
tips
of
tips for the first time, your baby doesn't call you sir.
Yeah. And so a lot of this is like,
when I had a kid, I didn't have all the answers, and it wasn't because I wasn't in search of them. And like, these things are like just these hollow platitudes about what it means to be a dad and like finding your way as being a dad and keeping the rest of your life, keeping yourself as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good for them. Good. They found each other, and that's good. Well, thank you, Dan, for sharing some Tucker Max news with me. I was not wondering about him. I hadn't thought about him since I think I did an interview with Ian Forty at one point, and he asked me if there were any comedians that I hated. And I said, Tucker Max was the only person, because that was a bridge I didn't mind burning. And and I stand by it.
Yeah, it's reasonable not to keep tabs on Tucker Max, for sure. I think I was just like an idle curiosity to be like, what this person who I don't think has any real skills, what are they doing now? How are they surviving?
That medium is gone. I mean, that early internet comedy was, that does not exist anymore.
Yeah.
And for good reason. I mean, obviously it was really toxic and created some weird cultures on the internet.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that's our show.
That's it.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And Daniel, I had a really nice time talking to you.
I had a great time talking with you.
You can follow Dan on Twitter at @DOB_Inc. You can follow me, Soren, at Soren_LTD. You can follow Quick Question at @QQ_Soren and Dan. There is an Instagram. I don't think there's much there. It's @QQ_with_Soren_Dan_ No, sorry. Let me start again.
Keep going with the underscores.
Do you have another 20 minutes for me to start again? QQ_with_Soren_and_Dan. You can also, you will never find our sound engineer, our editor, our producer. His name is Gabe Harder. He is a cloak and dagger Dracula. You can also you can follow us on Patreon. You can pay for Patreon and get some extra content from us. That's Patreon/QuickQuestion. We answer your questions there. You can send us questions and we'll answer them. That's it. I'm sorry. One more thing. We have a theme song. I want to shout out to the theme song every single time. That's Me Rex. It's the best theme song in the world. Me Rex. And you can find them at MeRex, R-E-X, like Tyrannosaurus Rex, .bandcamp.com. Bye.
Bye.
I've got a quick question for you. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
I think you'll have a great time.